and turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. As we will not read the entire chapter tonight. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, as I will, by the grace of God, since I am still alive and I have not been raptured yet, I'm going to continue to run on and serve the Lord. As the songwriter said, I'm going to stay on the battlefield for my Lord until I die. Building and battling while waiting and watching, part 8. Building and battling while waiting and watching, part 8, the Second Coming Chapel Sermon of the Week, message number 292. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Now, you know this book is the Word of God. You can't even make that up. Nobody but God could think of something like that. We our little finite minds could not even begin to imagine or to think of words like these. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You know the main reason why God has not sent back Jesus Christ is because God loves everybody, and he's giving everybody ample time to believe on him and to come to him. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. In other words, God keeps his word and his promise. As some men count slackness, rather is what he's saying, rather he is long-suffering to usward. Long-suffering. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I thank God, as evil as I was, I thank God he waited on me to come to the knowledge of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Father God in heaven, I praise you, and Lord, I thank you for another great service standing between the living and the dead earlier today. And Holy Father God, I praise you and thank you for giving us a mind and a heart to pray throughout this day since then in preparation for this service. Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for my daughter, Daniela Danny White, and my son, Daniel White the Fourth, and my other oldest daughter, Danita Evangeline White, and for what they have done for the ministry and how they have honored their father today. Without my having to ask them or to say anything to them, you touched their hearts, Lord, to send love offerings to help in the ministry here that they came out of. And that is an honor to you and an honor to your poor servant and to their father, Lord, as well. And I give you the glory, praise, and honor for that. And Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you most of all for your mercy, your love, and your grace. And I praise you and thank you for your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, your Holy Spirit, and your Holy Word. And I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would continue to have mercy and grace upon us. And for Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults, as we from our hearts, by your grace, forgive those who have sinned against us. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you tonight for salvation, full and free. I thank you for salvation and spiritual, family and life, mental and physical, protection and provision, financial and material blessings that you have bestowed upon us down through the years, not only today, but down through the years. And I thank you for bringing us a mighty long way, as the songwriter and the singer said so beautifully this morning. And Holy Father God, I pray that you give us your grace and your energy, your strength and the power of your Holy Spirit, the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit to do the hard work of prayer and the easier work of reading your Holy Word and preaching. And Lord God in heaven, I do pray right now, these people who are gathering on, they don't realize, Lord, the battle that I am fighting when I pray. And some do not understand the battle that they're fighting when they pray. But I am convinced that the hardest job in the Christian life is prayer. The second hardest would be a close second, soul winning, then preaching, and then reading your Holy Word. And combined together, it makes for a hard task, because the devil hates all four. And so, Holy Father God, we pray, Lord, tonight, and help everybody here to engage in the hard work of prayer. Help everybody out there to engage in the hard work of prayer. And Lord, the only thing you told us to do without ceasing and always is to pray. You gave a parable to this end, that men ought always to pray. You said pray without ceasing, and you said always pray. Pray always in Ephesians chapter 6. You also said be instant in prayer. So, Lord, grant us your grace and your strength and your energy and your and the power of your Holy Spirit to do just that. For, Lord, you have also made my life's verse, Zechariah 4:6, a part of those verses. It is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. If you don't move, as the song writer and the singer said even this morning, if the power of your Holy Ghost don't come down, we can't do nothing. Lord, I know that's bad English, but it makes good sense. And so, Lord, empty us of ourselves and everything that is not like you. As always, on Saturdays, the devil fights from the beginning of the day until the end of the day. And I thank you, Lord, that we're not ignorant of his devices, and he's fighting right now to try to hinder your gospel and your holy word from going out. And so, Holy Father God, help us all to be sober-minded, vigilant, and watchful. I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would cast out the devil and the demons of hell and the satanic demonic spirit of Judas, betrayal and sabotage and foolishness. Cast out the satanic demonic spirit of Jezebel, Sanballat, Tobias, Judas, demonic spirits and sins and flesh and mess of pride, stubbornness, rebelliousness, lying, dishonesty, deceit, sabotage, and betrayal, treachery, hindrance, and distraction. Lord, I pray that you will drive these demon spirits and attitudes and mentalities out of the hearts and minds and lives of the people here who have that problem, and the people out there in other families and ministries and churches who have that problem. And Lord God in heaven, I do pray tonight that you would please rebuke and bind the devil, his demons, and his hosts from this service, from the afterglow service, Lord, until we hit the bed tonight, and then overnight, protect us, surround us with your protection, a band of your holy angels, a wall of your holy fire, cover us, and cleanse us through the blood of Christ, and make us to be whiter than snow. Prepare us, Lord, for anything, for the devil is always plotting and planning and trying and strategizing against us, trying his best to surprise us and to get a sneak attack in. And I thank you that, Lord, he has never been successful with me. And I thank you for giving me that discernment and giving me that ability to not be ignorant of his devices. Thank you, Holy Father God, through prayer, for giving me a heads up every time he's trying to pull something. And Lord, as you did with David, as you even did yourself, Lord Jesus, we can anticipate what the devil and his cohorts, even human beings, demon-possessed people, will do, and we can slide out of the way. And that's an amazing gift and talent and ability. And I thank you for that, because it has saved us much loss and has even saved my life. And so, Holy Father God, I do pray that you would continue to give me that kind of protection, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, insight, and discernment. Let your will be done and not ours. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us once again by your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to win the victory, to have victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the demons of hell, and all of the Judases and Sanballats, and those Christians who are influenced by the devil, and who are influenced by devilish people. I pray, Holy Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would deliver each and every one of us tonight from temptation, evil, and sin. Grant us your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit to love right, to live right, to think right, to do right, to act right, and to do that which is pleasing in your sight, not only now in church, but Lord, throughout this night, throughout this into the wee hours of the morning, if you allow us to live and see tomorrow, throughout Sunday. And Holy Father God, I pray that you would help us and grant us all your grace and the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be humble, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, to pray and to repent and to get back to you, our first love. And Holy Father God, revive us again, who are those of us who are saved. And Lord, let your will be done and not ours. And Holy Father God, we pray tonight that you would save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, heal those who are sick, comfort those who are grieving and mourning, draw them to yourself for salvation and comfort. And Holy Father God, glorify your holy name. Deliver each and every one of us from our distresses and afflictions if we do right by you. Cares and worries and anxieties and troubles and problems and fears. And fill us, Lord, with your peace that passeth all understanding tonight. Your joy unspeakable, place the whole arm of God upon us. And Lord God in heaven, I pray tonight that you would bless and protect our family and all of the families that stand for you, our ministry and all of the ministries that stand for you, our church and all of the churches that stand for you. Lord, and protect us from ourselves tonight. Protect us from our flesh and protect us from the devil and protect us, Lord, from the demons of hell. Protect us, Lord, from evil people in the family, evil people in the church. Protect us from evil people in the church. Protect us from evil people in the world. Place, Lord, upon us the whole arm of God and cover us and cleanse us through the blood of Christ and surround us with the band of your holy angels. And give us sweet victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil and the devil's people. And, Lord, we cast all care upon you tonight. For, Lord, we know that you care for us. Help us to keep our hearts and minds stayed upon you, no matter what's going on in the world, negative or positive, and have us to always be at an even keel. Lord, always at peace. Keep us in perfect peace. And help us to keep our eyes on the prize and keep the blessed hope in our hearts that you're coming back, because you are. And help us never to forget it. And if we never forget that, we will always have hope, joy, cheerfulness, and peace, even in the midst of tribulation and trouble, peace that passeth all understanding. Help us to live by your word, not by what the world is doing or saying, not by how we feel, but by your word. Your holy, imperfect, inerrant, infallible word. In Jesus Christ's name I do pray, and for his sake, amen. You may be seated. Building and battling while waiting and watching, part 8, the Second Coming Chapel, message 292. Dr. Billy Graham, who is now home with the Lord in heaven, having served his generation, and I would say then some, by the grace of God. Dr. Billy Graham said, we are to wait for Christ's coming with patience. Watch for Christ's coming with anticipation. And work for Christ's coming with zeal. In our last few messages, ladies and gentlemen, in this series, we have been looking at how we can trust in the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, despite those who scoff at it, those who mock it, those who laugh it off, and who don't take the Lord seriously. And sad to say, many of them are in theological seminaries. Many of them are in Bible colleges teaching students. Many of them are sitting in pulpits in churches, sad to say. We can trust in Christ's coming because of the foundation of God's Word, His infallible, inerrant, inspired, God-breathed Word. How God has acted in history, particularly through the flood, and how the same Word God used to create the world has been used to reserve the world for destruction. Now we will look at how we can trust in Christ's coming despite how it seems to be a long time in coming. The passage that we just read is a deep passage and ought to remind you that it is the Word of God. Some of you wonder, why do I struggle understanding the Word of God? Understand now that God wrote the Bible. This is God's book. It comes from His perspective, and God is very deep. Now, to help us to understand this passage a little bit better before we move on, let's look at the Bible Knowledge Commentary and Dr. Walvoord and Dr. Zuck editors. And it says, regarding this passage, why should the Lord be so long in coming? And may I say that I got saved December the 19th, 1979, and I was expecting the Lord December the 20th, 1979. That's how excited I was. And for about 2 years, I was looking for Him every day, and I've been looking for Him ever since. Maybe not as intently as I was in those first 2 years. Peter offered two answers. First, God counts time differently than does man. Once again, Peter appealed to their memories. Do not forget this one thing. The scoffers forget. They mock and forget. They laugh and forget. But believers should not forget. God does not want us to forget. As I have told you several times, God is big on remembering, because God does not do a whole bunch of things. he does a few things, and he will write about it and tell you about it, and he expects you to have faith and in him, trust in him, and he expects you to believe his word and believe what he did back yonder. And understand that if he wanted to, he can do it again. But once God does something, really, once is enough. And what he does, he wants us to go back to it and read about it and remember it and learn the lessons from it. For example, God mentions Sodom and Gomorrah several times after the event throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Well, he does that because he does not really want to, contrary to what you think, he does not want to be doing a Sodom and Gomorrah every Friday. He wants you to look back and see what happened to these people and learn your lesson from them. He wants you, he made you intelligent. He wants you to be smart and look back in history and say, oh, they did this and this would happen to them. Well, then maybe it would be wise for me to take heed to that and not do what they did. God is big on remembrance. He does not open the Red Sea. You're not going to run God like that every Friday or every Saturday or every Sunday. You're not going to do that. But the Red Sea story is told many times throughout the Bible. God wants us to look back and remember that he has the power to do stuff like that. Christians should recall Psalm 90, verse 4 in the Word of God, which Peter quoted. People see time against time, but God sees time against eternity. In fact, time only seems long because of man's finite perspective. Whereas God can see time from the beginning, the present, and the future. Right there sitting on his throne. You can't. I can't. And so we think that things are taking a long time when they're not. And one of the things you will learn in the Christian life, if you live long enough, if you are truly born again, and that is to wait on God and be patient. The Christians who win in the Christian life, they learn how to wait on God. They're not in a rush. They learn to walk with the Lord. And when it's time to run and do a special work, they do that. But for the most part, they walk with the Lord, the winning Christians. And they have learned how to wait on the Lord and to depend upon the Lord. And I suggest that you learn how to do that, because God is not going to do anything until he gets good and ready. And I mean that. You will not rush him, and you can't rush him. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. Some suggest that this statement argues against premillennialism. They point out that the concept of 1,000 years is not to be taken literally, since it is merely a comparative time reference, is what they say. And by the way, you can read the Bible all the way through in 1 year, or faster than that, as some people have. Pardon me. But that does not mean you're going to understand the Bible. This thing takes time. The Christian walk takes time. All things that are important take time. However, the literal 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth is strongly affirmed in Revelation chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. Peter was simply using a simile, what to people, including scoffers, may seem like a long time, is to the Lord a very short time. You got to understand that. But it's going to be hard for you to understand because you're not the Lord. See, some of you people are frustrated, you're angry, you're bitter, you're mad at God, you're mad at life, you're mad at your parents, you're mad at your siblings, you're mad at the world. You know why? Because you're in a hurry and God is not. You can ask all of the true old saints and they will tell you, son, daughter, learn how to wait on the Lord. Be patient. Because he sees things and time differently than you do. And if you don't learn how to wait, what you're going to understand is eventually you have to wait. You have to be patient. And this is for every area of your life, my beloved. Some of you right now are frustrated. Why am I not married yet? Why don't I have a wife? Why don't I have a husband? Why don't I have a house? What's taking so long for me to get this degree? See, from your perspective, it's taken a long time. From God's perspective and him working on you like he needs to work on you, and some of you are hard-headed, and some of you are stiff-necked, and some of you are proud and arrogant, His chisel's got to work extra hard on you. He's got three teams of angels working on you and chipping away your hard-headedness and your stubbornness. And I'm here to tell you, as long as you can do what you want, but as long as you're hard-headed and stiff-necked and proud and arrogant and stubborn, it's going to take a longer time. God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. He wants to show you favor more than you want to be shown favor. But if you're proud, stubborn, and arrogant, and mean, and hateful, and nobody can help you, even God can't help you because you're so proud, it's going to take a while. And you're going to be stuck for many years. And you can try to get out of that stuckness on your own and go out and elope with some joker, with some dreads and looking like a hippie, if you want to. You're going to jump out of the frying pan and into the fire. And you're going to wish you had waited while the turtle comes running past you. You, the hare, trying to go faster, and you end up in a messed up situation, a terrible situation, almost inescapable, because you refuse to wait on God. The present church age has lasted, in God's eyes, not quite 2 days. In God's eyes. The second reason the Lord's return seems to be so long in coming is that God wants as many people to be saved as possible. That's the loving heart of God. That's why we're still here. You know why we have this plague pandemic on top of us? The church. Is because the church is not doing what Jesus told her to do. basically, he gave us two commandments. The great commandment, love God with all your heart, love everybody else. We're not doing that, because if we were doing that, we would be obedient to God and obey the second commandment, the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. You smart, intelligent theologians and seminary graduates and students and so forth, and I've been there, I know what it's all about as well. You can say what you want. You can do what you want. You can talk about all of your stupid methods all you want to, and your little strategies all you want. But we have not kept the main thing that Jesus told us to do some 2,000 years ago, and that's the main reason why we're in the mess we're in today. And some of you are so blind, you can't even see it. You're so blind with your gobbledygook, and you're so blind with your Phariseeism and your Sadduceeism and your hypocrisy and your swinging and your adultery and your homosexuality and your lesbianism in the church, where the pastor's wife is a lesbian and the pastor is on the down low, and they both swing with the trustees and the deacons. You can't even see what I'm talking about. You can't even see the problem, because you're so covered over in the dung of sin. And leading others to sin. An article came out today that I had already predicted a year ago, that many churches have been shut down. They won't say it, but I know why they've been shut down. They've been shut down because God shut them down. God shut them down because they refused to do what God told them to do. And some pastors are finally admitting. A very prominent pastor on video, two of them, two very prominent pastors on video said today that most churches are not going to come back after this plague pandemic. Most churches are not going to come back. You know why? Because God shut them. They won't say this. They want to try to make it a little scientific thing. No, God shut them down because they were not doing what God told them to do, and they were doing everything the devil told them to do. And then one pastor read back, and I know of this one pastor. I know of his church. It was just a growing by leaps and bounds, packed out. I know because I used to live right down the street from the church in Stone Mountain, Georgia. Just absolutely amazing growth. Empty. They would have anywhere from 1,500 to 2,000 every Sunday morning. Couldn't even fit the people in there. And now they showed a picture of it. They got 150 chairs spread out. You know why? God is shutting down churches. And he's one of the honest ones. He's being honest about the whole thing. And he's the kind of pastor who will admit that we were not doing what the Lord told us to do. And that's all there is to it. He came off to me as matter-of-fact kind of a fellow. Let's be real about this. Let's stop playing these games. Let's stop lying. He's one of those kind of guys. I saw it in him. In the video. For him to admit and to say and to show what he had to show and admit is hard. A church that ran every Sunday morning 1,500 to 2,000 people in the auditorium. Multiple services. They hope to open up again by Easter, but it's going to be with those 150 chairs. Many churches have shut down We learned last night hundreds of pastors from the Church of God in Christ have died. Hundreds and hundreds of church members. They don't want to say too much about that because to them, that is a shame. But the Lord is holding back because he wants more people saved. And I guess you can say he's pruning the church. He's being thorough with the church and breaking us down and making us and molding us to be what he wants us to be and giving us an opportunity to live up to his good name and do what we're supposed to do and cut this foolishness out. Thankfully, the Methodists, for the second year in a row, they're going to postpone talking about welcoming homosexuals and lesbians as members into the church until 2022 now. They were supposed to do it in 2020, but the plague hit. So now they're postponing it till 2022. And I assure you that God is watching them. The plague hit right before they had their big meeting. It was all in the news. They were going to split over the abomination of homosexuality and lesbianism. And then Bishop Blake of the Church of God in Christ, he admitted last night that the coronavirus plague has hindered and stopped their church from doing something. They canceled their big convocation. They're having problems with the voting in of another bishop. And he had to come out last night around 11 o'clock last night and rebuke everybody and reminded them that I'm not gone yet. And I'm the only one who has the authority to do anything with this church. So everybody else stand down, and we're going to postpone the voting, and I'm not giving up my position right now until we get some integrity and character and honesty going on. Because he said that the integrity of our church is at risk before the world. And so, dear friends, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise. God is dealing with the church right now. You know why? Because God is not willing that any should perish. And there are a whole lot of souls perishing because the church is playing instead of praying. And the people in the church are straying. And so are the pastors and the pastors' wives. Again, Peter gave a divine human comparison. God's so-called tardiness or slackness, as viewed by some people, God is kind of slow in doing what he said. You know, some of these people are very arrogant to talk about God like that. As some understand, slowness or slackness is only a delay with respect to their time schedules, not his time schedule. In fact, God's time schedule is modified by patience, which many of us don't have. See, that's the problem. A major attribute of the Heavenly Father is patience, long-suffering, loving-kindness. See, it took a long time. I've been preaching and warning America and the world of this plague for the past 10 to 12 years. To prove that is in writing, is on videotape, it is on audio all over the internet. And God held back, and he warned, and he sent warnings, and strange things were happening, and every time they happen, I told you this is a warning from God. It is a loving, and here's the words I use, it is a loving, slow-rolling, patient judgment of God upon the church and upon the world, upon America particularly. For we are the Rome of the world. And we have led others to do evil in God's sight, and we have suffered the most. It is a worldwide shame and embarrassment. God has embarrassed America before the whole world. The world is laughing, especially our enemies. They're laughing at us. That it just so happened the great America has lost the most lives by almost double of any other country in the world. The great America, I call her now the great whore, because we have exported evil, whereas 100 years ago we were leading the world in exporting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The words not wanting anyone to perish do not express a decree as if God has willed everyone to be saved. That's not the case. There are people in hell right now. Universal salvation is not taught in the Bible at all. It's an individual thing. Your mother can go to heaven and you might go to hell. If you don't repent and believe in Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. Instead, those words describe God's wishes or desires. He longs that all would be saved, but knows that many reject him. And so the question tonight, dear friend, is, will you reject him? Will you reject Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, the sacrificial Passover Lamb of God for the whole world, who took away the sins of the whole world? He suffered, he bled, and he died on the cross, not because of his sins, but because of your sins. Will you believe in him tonight? Or will you reject him? It's your choice. Jesus Christ said, the most loving, most wonderful, most important words ever said in the history of the world. In the history of the world, to mankind. When he said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Dear friend, please understand with me that you are a sinner. Accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law. We all have. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We all have broken God's commandments. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not covet. Honor thy father and thy mother. Do not take God's name in vain. Thou shalt not steal. And the truth of the matter is, we all have broken just those five commandments. There are five more to go, and we're all guilty of those five. If we are of a certain age, we're sinners. We're sinners by nature and by choice. And second, I want you to accept the fact and understand that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We die because of sin. Our bodies will die and go to a grave. Our soul, which lives on forever, will go immediately to hell. And hell is a very real place. So thirdly, I want you to accept the fact. I want you to accept the fact that you're on the road to hell right now. If you have never believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Hell is a very real place. Jesus Christ preached more on hell than anybody in the Bible. He preached more on hell than he did about heaven. He described hell as a place where there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth because of the pain of hell. Hell is a place, he described hell as a place where their worm dieth not in the fire is not quenched. Hell is a very real place. Hell is a serious place. Hell is not a joke. And to me, the saddest aspect of hell is that once you go there, you're locked in forever. There's no limbo. There's no purgatory. There's no in-between. Jesus Christ never spoke of anything like that. All of that is apocryphal. It is not true. It's not based in fact. Nobody can buy you out of hell. Nobody can pray you out of hell. Once you go to hell, that's it. You will be locked in the darkness and the heat and the fire and the pain of hell forever. If you reject Jesus Christ, and I want to tell you, the greatest sin in the world, by far, is rejecting Jesus Christ. Not believing in Jesus Christ. Not choosing to receive his gift of salvation. In light of what he has done for you to have it, he suffered, he bled, he died, he never sinned in his life in word, thought, or deed. So he did it for you. He was buried and he rose again on the third day by the power of God. All of that is absolutely amazing. I believe that's the reason why the songwriter called it Amazing Grace. And all you have to do is believe in him. That's all. Notice the words of Jesus, the greatest words, most important words ever spoken as far as I'm concerned, to mankind. He said, "Whosoever," the word "whosoever" means anybody at any time. That includes you. And you're going to reject Jesus when he includes you? Whosoever believeth. The word believeth, notice the simplicity. How easy it is to get saved. Just believe in Jesus Christ. Believeth in him. The word believeth means to trust in, to have faith in. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Perish where? In the flames and darkness and pain of hell forever. So as soon as you believe in Christ, look to Christ and believe in him for your salvation, your destination changes immediately. That's how powerful the gospel is. That's how powerful the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is. instantaneously you're saved. Because I do want you to understand that if you died right now, rejecting Jesus Christ and not believing on him, you will instantaneously go to hell. I want you to understand that. So you do what you want to do. But the wise choice is to believe in Christ. You don't have to join some ornate church to get saved. You don't have to be a member of a church to get saved. You don't have to get baptized to get saved. You don't have to speak in some unknown tongue to get saved. You don't have to shout and jump and run around the church to get saved. You don't have to give any money to the church or to the preacher to get saved. You don't have to give $1,000 seed offering and all of that foolishness. You don't have to give a dime to the church to get saved. You don't have enough money to pay for your salvation. You don't have to do a whole lot of good works to get saved. You couldn't work enough to get saved. It's a free gift. Accept the free gift, people. Accept the free gift. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do not reject him. Do not neglect him. Do not disrespect him. He did this for you, and he's still waiting on you, as much evil as we all have done. That's why he is still waiting. That's why the Lord has not come back yet. That's why the world has not ended. God in his love is still waiting on you to come in, but he's not going to wait forever. He's waited a long time already. I thank God he waited for me December the 19th, 1979. I got in the ark. I got in the old ship of Zion, and I haven't been the same since. And I'm thankful that he waited for me. And he's waiting on you. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. You will not perish. You will go to heaven when you die instead of going to hell. Now, this is the greatest deal in the history of the world. Dear friend, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. The Bible says in Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. It is a free gift, my dear friend. Just believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Call on his name. Ask him to save you, and I'll help you with the prayer part. You just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ right now. You don't listen to the devil when he tells you you need to go and clean up your life. You're not going to do that, and you might die on the way back. So go ahead and get saved right now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ right now. Let's pray. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner. I admit that I have broken your Ten Commandments, as the preacher brought out tonight. I've done evil in your sight. I understand that I deserve to go to hell just like a criminal deserves to go to jail. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. As I believe with all of my heart in your Holy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that he suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins. was buried, and rose on the third day by your power. Lord Jesus Christ, please come into my heart and into my spirit and save my soul. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to truly repent of all of my sins. Help me to turn from my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus Christ. For it is in your name I do pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you just believed in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as he said, and believed in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, and you prayed that prayer with me and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the eternal word of God, you are now saved from hell and you are on your way to heaven. I have no doubt about it if you did that. I hope that you have no doubt about it. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. Congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Jesus Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my book titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. It is a free book download. You can begin reading it within a minute and start growing in the faith, because it will tell you step by step what you need to do next as a new Christian. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good, is my prayer. If the Lord tarries his coming and we live, we'll be right back here tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock Central Time, 11 o'clock Eastern, and 8 o'clock Pacific. If you have a prayer list, please put our ministry on it. Put me on it. Make sure you pray tonight without ceasing for your family, for yourself, for your ministry, for your church. Your family, by the way, ought to have a ministry. And you ought to have church at home as well. And pray for your greater church. And if God has blessed you to be wealthy, we don't want anybody who's struggling to sacrifice for our ministry or any other ministry. And ministries ought to be getting money to you. So if you are struggling and you're on unemployment, you've lost your job, you're behind on your rent, behind on your mortgage and car payment, utilities, do not send us one penny. But those who are wealthy, now if you are, you still have your job or any kind of job, you're still trying to work out there, may God help you. I don't know how wise that is, but may God help you. If you're able to work at home, like my oldest daughter is, that's fine. You ought to tithe and give to your local church. And if you can give above that, then that would be of a great help to us. But if you are wealthy, there's still many wealthy people in this country and in the world. I'm talking to my friends in India right now. I'm talking to my friends in Saudi Arabia. I'm talking to my friends in Israel and in Nigeria and in Kenya, Great Britain, one of our biggest audiences, Canada. God has blessed you with oil riches and all of that. you can spot me and our ministry $24,000 to help us to restock the ministry, solidify the ministry, strengthen the ministry. After preaching the gospel for over 5 years and warning this country and the world of this plague for almost 12 years, I think, every day for over the past 5 years, with the exception of a few days off, I want to take some time and refresh everything and get new cameras and new equipment and get everything set up to reach even millions more with the gospel until Jesus comes, because that's what he's waiting on, millions more to get saved. Would you help us? It would be greatly appreciated. If you want to see some of the fruit of our efforts, the full names of people who've gotten saved through this ministry, some of the people who've gotten saved and some of the people who have come back to the Lord is listed online. You can go to bcn1.com and see it for yourself. And I'm sure there's other places. But if you want to give, you can give through Cash App, Gospel Light Society, through PayPal, GLS at Gospel Light Society. That's for the Gospel Light Society Ministry. Gospel Light Society, the full name is Gospel Light Society Evangelistic Ministries International. It is an evangelistic ministry with a discipleship arm connected to it, the Gospel Light House of Prayer. And so, and if you want to give the whole amount or more, just email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com, and we can send you the banking information so that you can wire the money. And if you wire it before 3 o'clock, we'll get it the next day. So thank you, dear friends. As you know, I have not said much about money, because so many false prophets and so many prosperity gospel preachers have messed that up for the real preachers. And now that the gospel, the prosperity gospel, is dead, and we don't hear too much about that anymore, and it will be probably dead in the water going forward. And so I don't mind saying a few things about that now. In fact, the Lord is leading me to do so, because I hate doing it. So God bless you, dear friends. Until next time, remember, keep your heart and mind stayed on the Lord, and he will keep you in perfect peace. Pray without ceasing for yourself, for your family, your ministry, and your church. And when you think about us, pray for us. God bless you, dear friends. Until next time.